Hello, everyone. Thank you so much for joining us for Infracommerce's second quarter 2021 earnings conference call. For those of you who don't know me, I'm Fabio Bortolotti, IRO at Infracommerce. The results that we announced this morning, the audio of this call, and the slides that we'll reference are available on our IR website. Presenting today will be Kai Schoppen, our founder and CEO, and Rafael Quintas, our CFO. After the presentation, we'll be here for the Q&A session. If you would like to ask a question, please use the chat box on the webcast platform. Before I turn the call over to Kai, I'd like to caution you regarding our forward-looking statements. Any matters discussed today that are not historical facts, particularly comments regarding the company's future plans, objectives, and expected performance, constitute forward-looking statements. These statements are based on a range of assumptions that the company believes are reasonable, but are subject to uncertainties and risks that are discussed in detail in our CVM filings. Forward-looking statements are no guarantee of performance. They involve risks, uncertainties, and assumptions because they relate to future events and therefore depend on circumstances that may or may not occur. Investors should understand that general economic conditions, industry conditions, and other operating factors could also affect the future results of the company and could cause results to differ materially from those expressed in such forward-looking statements. Also, during the call, we'll discuss non-IFRS performance measures, which should not be considered in isolation. For a reconciliation of the non-IFRS performance measures, look at our earnings release. With that, I'll turn the call over to Kai. Kai?
Thank you, Fabio. Hello, and thank you, everyone, for joining us today. We are very happy to share Infracommerce's second quarter 2021 results with you. This is the greatest quarter in our history, and we're very proud of our results. As an introduction, I would like to warn you that the second quarter of 2020 was a quarter in which we grew by 120%. So we are comparing to a very strong second quarter we had in 2020, but even so, we were able to deliver significant growth, which is 100% aligned with our internal plan. This quarter, we continued focusing on our strategy of expanding our ecosystem, always maximizing consumer experience excellency. CX as a service, or customer experience as a service, is part of our company's DNA. I would like to start by thanking our team of Infras for the dedication, efficiency, and care towards our customers, and for always trying to exceed their expectations, keeping at the same time a focus on innovation. This is our way, and I'm very proud to be building this company together with all of you. As you can see on slide number four, we like to reinforce the value proposition of Infracommerce. Infracommerce is an ecosystem of integrated digital solutions, a mix of an omni-channel platform with a layer of data, of fintech, and fulfillment. This is what we call customer experience as a service at Infracommerce. Since we founded Infracommerce in 2012, we have had as a guiding principle that in order to win in e-commerce, brands need to focus on end consumers. And in order to do that, they need an integrated solution that will help them solve the complexity of managing diverse suppliers, systems, and channels. And for that, they need large scale. This challenge that brands face increases year after year because we see a new introduction of sales channels like social commerce, live commerce, WhatsApp commerce. We need to integrate brick-and-mortar stores. We need to provide B2B commerce. So at the same time as consumers are becoming more demanding in terms of delivery times and a seamless experience on the websites, the complexity of the channels is growing. Our goal is to solve this digitalization journey and optimize go-to-market for the brands and industries, our customers. So we focus on multiple verticals at the same time, like a market platform, a search offer, and the different solutions that brands need in order to have a successful e-commerce. But we focus on creating a horizontal, 100% integrated solution, and customers can benefit from our scale. This level of service that we deliver is recognized by the Brazilian Association of E-Commerce. In 2020, we were awarded as the best level of service in the Brazilian e-commerce market. And as you know, our mission is to digitalize the go-to-market. And that goes beyond the famous and well-known B2C e-commerce, which is sales to individuals. But it also covers the digitalization of the supply market channels, which we call B2B, integrating industries, wholesalers, distributors with thousands of small Brazilian retailers. We've been pioneers in this in 2016, and we now have these two different business units, B2B and B2C. This segment is highly relevant for us, the B2B segment, because as I said earlier, we not only are pioneers in this area, but we've also become a reference in terms of excellence of execution and platform technology. Our business model continues to be increasingly disruptive as we grow and add new features to the ecosystem. This can be seen in our performance numbers that will be shared with you today. And more specifically, the numbers of the second quarter of 2021. Now, moving on to slide number 5. In the first chart, you can see that we have achieved 1.5 billion BRLs of GMV in the second quarter, up 29%. Compared to the growth we achieved the previous year. Our net revenue hit the record of 79 million BRLs, an increase of 20% compared to the second quarter of 2020. In the first half of 2021, we had a net revenue of 152 million BRLs, up 39%, which is slightly above our expectations. The performance of the second quarter of 2021 can be considered even more robust, considering that in the second quarter of 2020, we grew by 122% in our revenue compared to the second quarter of 2019. Thus, our annualized growth from the second quarter of 2019 to the second quarter of 2021, or the first quarter of 2021, exceeds our historic average and reaches the impressive level of 63%. 63% annualized growth from 2019 to 2021. This GMV volume and the record revenue shows that we are on the right track and that the advances of digitalization seen last year has come to stay. On slide number 6, we share other highlights of the quarter. Starting with TPV, or total payment volume, our growth was very well aligned with our revenue, a 21% increase compared to the values of the previous year, totaling 183 million BRLs. We have delivered over 19.5 million products representing our customers, which is also a record for the period. That is a 66% increase compared to the previous year. We're also very proud because the two growth levers planned during our IPO are bringing the robust results that we expected. On one hand, we have the acceleration of marketing and sales, and on the other hand, inorganic growth in our growth mix. The intensification of marketing and sales actions resulted in an all-time record of leads generation and conversion this quarter. As a consequence, we closed the quarter with 268 customers in our portfolio. We'll go back to that topic later on. As to the inorganic growth plan, we announced the acquisitions of Zuma and Tetix in recent weeks. These acquisitions are not yet reflected in the numbers of this quarter. We'll start consolidation in the coming quarter only. For the second year in a row, InfraCommerce has been considered one of the best companies to work for in Brazil by GPTW. And this is a result of the engagement of our team of 1,637 Infras, our employees who embrace the cause and who are passionate about our way. This is the way we call our culture. On slide number 7, you can see some operational performance metrics. We've had a solid performance in our B2B solutions with an organic growth that exceeded 50%. And we, even though we grew a lot, we launched 2 very innovative modules for our platform. The first one is a sales virtual assistant that uses artificial intelligence, and the other one is a B2B hub that enables our customers to plug to different channels. So you don't have a one-to-one connection in our B2B platforms only, but the seller can actually act on different channels. Thus, we are consolidating the leadership and the position at the forefront of this e-commerce market. As I said last quarter, one of our focuses has been on boosting cross-selling, especially among our B2B customers. This cross-selling is already impacting our take rate, which totaled 5.2% this quarter compared to 5.0% in the same period last year. So we also see an increase in the take rate, not only growth of the GMV. And just like in the previous quarter, something that we're also focusing on is our customer concentration. The customer concentration continues decreasing in the annual comparison, with our top 2 customers now accounting for 28% of our net revenue compared to 33% in the second quarter of 2020. So customer concentration is also dropping, aligned with our plans. We have concluded the integration of Pier 8, focused on cost and revenue synergies and also cross-selling with other technologies and services to their customer base to generate more revenue. We have already optimized the back office teams and incorporated the operations in our logistics infrastructure, integrating their Tambora distribution center to our Embu premises, and will continue to accelerate cross-selling and the data platform, omnichannel fulfillment, and fintech, and their fulfillment and payment base. Now, moving on to slide number 8. As we mentioned previously, our commercial strategy has been very successful, resulting in the addition of 43 new customers to our ecosystem this quarter alone. This is a new record I'd like to remind everyone who were part of our roadshow for the IPO that at the end of the roadshow, we had in total 70 customers. And this quarter, we added 43 customers. At the end of last year, the company had only 70 customers. So you can see that this is very much aligned with our strategy of expanding our range of customers, focusing on medium-sized companies to diversify our portfolio. This performance will not only contribute to the results of the second quarter of 2021, but it also establishes a solid foundation for our future organic growth. On slide number 9, I would like to share a major news with you related to the expansion of our B2B platform. This is a detailed case that shows well how our company is positioning itself in the B2B world today. We've been talking to ABAD for a long time now. ABAD is the Brazilian Association of Wholesalers and Distributors of Processed Goods. And they announced this week the creation of a B2B marketplace for their members. We will be in charge of the whole B2B platform technology, focusing on supplying thousands of small markets and retailers. This project will give retailers access to a broad range of products from different brands and industries in one single location, which is the goal of all marketplaces. This partnership will benefit not only our platform, but also our fintech. As you know, we also offer credit as a service, working capital, and payment solutions focused on B2B. And these solutions will also be benefited by this partnership. Just so you have an idea of the size of this opportunity, I would like to share a few numbers with you. We'll have access to about 4,000 distributors and wholesalers who are members of ABAD. And together, their revenue is of around 288 billion BRLs. In 2020, according to ABAD numbers. Today, we estimate as a company that the penetration of e-commerce of that total base of 288 billion BRLs at around 3%. That would be a similar level to the penetration that we already see in the B2C world today. We see a level of around 10 to 20% in the B2C e-commerce penetration. So I believe that we're going to see great advances of those 3% going towards 10 or 20%. And these advances are very relevant, especially when we compare to the 150 distributors that we have integrated into our platform today. So we're also going to expand the base of distributors connected to our B2C platform. We're very grateful for ABAD, represented by his president, Leonardo Severini, and supported by Eduardo Terra and German Quiroga, who chose us among 8 platforms that participated in this RFP that lasted almost a year. I hope I've been able to give you an idea of the magnitude of this case for the future of the company and for the future of ABAD as well. As part of the strategy to optimize our service level, we have expanded our logistic grid. We have opened 3 new distribution centers located in Rio de Janeiro, Salvador, and Extrema in recent weeks. Extrema in Extrema, the first customer is SBF Group operating with Nike. We closed the quarter with 7 dark stores strategically located throughout the country, and we're making investments to open, by the end of the year, at least another distribution center in Fortaleza and another 11 dark stores. On our website, you can see the map of Brazil showing the location of those stores and the delivery times and same day delivery numbers. I'll give you further details about that later on. As a result of these investments, we've been able to achieve 57% of deliveries done in up to 48 hours throughout the whole Brazilian territory. In São Paulo, 99% of the orders are delivered within 48 hours. Once again, that shows our commitment to customer experience as a service. This logistic footprint, allied to a significant reduction in delivery times, contributes to an increase in the conversion rate of our customers. And it also brings more qualitative results in the form of an increase in our NPS. Now let's move on to slide number 11 to talk about our fintechs highlights. We have launched our first FIDC geared towards credit and working capital expansion for thousands of small and medium-sized retailers for our B2B e-commerce clients. Our goal is to achieve at least 500 million BRLs in this exclusive FIDC in the next 12 months. Our focus is to give access to credit to small retailers. That's one of the main obstacles that our B2B segment customers face for growing. We set up our fintech because we identified this problem in the market about 2 to 3 years ago. So this is a logic expansion of our B2B strategy. Now, on slide number 12, to complement our ecosystem, we're very proud to highlight our most recent acquisitions, Zuma and TedTix. With Zuma, we have enhanced the technological reach of our ecosystem with gains of scale in B2C and B2B e-commerce projects in Latin America. And more specifically, Zuma brings a proprietary solution of seller-centered for marketplaces. This tool will be key to strengthen and accelerate the implementation of our B2B marketplaces in Brazil and in Latin America. They will also enable us to create a new software development hub with 120 developers in Argentina, in addition to the over 300 we already have in Brazil. You heard in recent weeks and months that we have hired good software developers. This is increasingly hard, but since we already have operations in Argentina, we were able to create this new development hub there. This week, we also concluded the acquisition of TedTix, a company that has vast experience in connections with marketplaces and sales tools that complement ours, as well as a proprietary system that enables an Uberization process for orders in omni-channels. So we have now the opportunity to open additional channels. With this acquisition, we have consolidated InfraCommerce as the largest customer experience as a service player in B2C in Brazil and Latin America. The merger of this business will enable us to capture many other incremental synergies, as well as the opportunities of growing in other channels, as I mentioned. With these acquisitions, our recurring annual revenue has achieved 436 million BRLs with our existing customers, not yet considering the 43 new customers that we have acquired this quarter. Now, I'd like to turn the floor over to Rafa, our CFO, who will give you further details about our financial results. Thank you, Kai. Good afternoon, everyone. I would like to emphasize that the results that I will share right now do not contemplate the most recent acquisitions that Kai has just mentioned. As you can see on slide 13, our performance in this quarter is a reflex of the significant expansion in our customer base, excluding the 43 one that we acquired this quarter, as well as the cross-selling initiatives and a very well-controlled churn. Just like in the previous quarter, we had zero churn in our original customer base. We have had a GMV of 1.5 billion BRLs, 29% more than in the second quarter of 2020. Net revenue had an all-time record, reaching 79.2 million BRLs, up 20% compared to last year. We need to remind you that the second quarter of 2020 was highly boosted by the COVID-19 pandemic, and that's when we achieved a 122% growth. Just so you have an idea of the dimension of our results, we had a quarter that was even better than the quarter that included the revenues coming from the Black Friday and Christmas last year. We reached the end of the second quarter of 21 with gross profit of 36.4 million BRLs, a gross margin of 46%, which is in line with our recent levels. This slight reduction of the gross margins compared to the 49% that we had in the same period last year is related to an increase in pre-operational costs connected especially to the expansion of our logistics grid. And the reflex on revenues will be seen in the next quarters. As Kai said, this logistic footprint contributes to taking our customer experience as a service business model to different regions in the country and bringing additional revenue to our customers. Adjusting for non-recurring events related to the M&A and our IPO, the EBITDA this quarter was 2.1 million BRLs, incorporating the expansion that took place in 2020 in the corporate area infrastructure that are the basis for our growth plan after our IPO. As you can see on slide 15, this quarter our CapEx was 17.8 million BRLs, focused mainly on technology projects with the aim of further developing our omnichannel platform and expanding our logistics grid. We have opened new distribution centers and dark stores, as Kai mentioned a few slides ago. This investment represented a growth of 91% when compared to the previous years, boosted by the factors I mentioned above. It's important to emphasize that our strategy is to be closer to our customers, contributing to reducing delivery times, as we said previously, and leading to a significant increase in sales conversions and GMV. On slide 16, you can see our cash numbers. Part of the IPO proceeds were used for M&A payments, the previous acquisitions that we made, and debt amortization at our company. We reduced our debt level from 71.9 million in December last year to 16 million BRLs only in June 2021. And we closed the quarter with a strong cash position of 757 million BRLs. Finally, on slide 17, we would like to reinforce our commitment to continuing delivering our growth strategy. We've had solid growth this quarter, and which is something that is even more important. We had a record number of customers getting into our ecosystem that will create the foundation for strong organic growth in the future. We're sure that we are focusing on what is the core of everything we do, customer experience as a service. So now we would like to open for questions. Thank you, Kai. Thank you, Rafael. We're now starting our question and answer session. In order to ask a question, please use the chat box on the webcast platform. It is located in the lower left corner of your screen. Questions will be answered in the order they are received. So please wait while we pull for questions. Starting with the first question from Gabriela Moraes with Itaú. Good afternoon, Kai and team. Can you tell us a bit more about the fulfillment platform performance, especially in B2B, and the Peer 8 integration process with cross-selling and omnichannel? And how long will it take for Zuma and Tetix to be integrated? Okay, great. Well, as you know, fulfillment for our B2B marketplaces are not our main focus of expansion. We like to implement the fintech technology and let distributors, wholesalers, distribution centers, and industries themselves to perform the delivery. So our focus is on expanding the platform and not on expanding the B2B logistics centers that would require a lot of footprint here in Brazil. And this can be done quickly in a collaborative manner. Now, the second part of your question was about cross-selling at Peer 8. Well, cross-selling at Peer 8 is working really well. About 10% of their customers already have additional solutions deployed, and about 20 to 25% of their customer base is under negotiations with us. We've been able to take one significant customer from Peer to the full commerce offer, so the whole package offered by InfraCommerce. So this is happening as planned. Now, the third part of your question was about delivery time, or no, the time to integrate Zuma and Tetix. With Peer, we learned about a PMI structure project. In the case of Peer, it took us around 5 to 6 months. We expect to do this faster in the case of Zuma and Tetix. The meetings are already happening, and I believe that in 3 months' time, most of the integration will have already taken place. In the case of Tetix, they have additional channels, but most of the operations are very similar. So InfraCommerce has lots of synergies with them in this way. Okay, now Guilherme Bai is asking, can you give us further details about the organic growth and cross-selling between customers? Are you going through this ramp-up of B2B customers, and also about the organic growth in B2B? Well, in B2B, we grew around 52%, and in B2C, 13%. In the case of B2B, that was 100% organic growth. In the case of B2C, we have M&A included. And since we have a lot of cross-selling going on, it's very hard to see exactly what is organic and what is inorganic growth. But in 2 years, and 66% annualized growth. Now you're asking about the cross-selling, the ramp-up of B2B customers. The major B2B marketplaces at InfraCommerce not only have a standardized implementation cycle, but they also go through a ramp-up phase. Why is that? Because since this is a marketplace, you are onboarding distributors, wholesalers, and logistics centers gradually. This is a gradual process, as I said. And even when you enable a new region with a new software, the marketplace's customers need to migrate to the marketplace. We have supermarkets and farmers and also small retailers that we serve. So they need to be convinced to be supplied through the marketplaces. So the ramp-up process to get to 100% of the potential of these marketplaces can last up to 3 years. So we have not gained or lost speed in this process. We have kept pretty much the same speed, adding 5 to 10 sales of these projects a month. If you compare this to the B2C market, that may seem little, but with our implementation strength, in 1 year, we would be able to include all of them. We are not at full speed here because there is work related to regional training and engagement. So we have achieved good numbers. The total numbers of plug-in sales is much higher, about 3 to 5 in each one of the projects, and in an accelerated phase that can get up to 10. I'd like to add a comment here. Last customer, we closed 6 B2B customers with the potential of generating GMV of 2 to 3 billion BRLs. In the second quarter, we closed a higher number of customers than last quarters, both for B2B and for B2C. For B2B, one of these customers is Abad, which has a huge potential, as Kai commented. Abad gathers about 4,000 members that together have an income of 288 billion BRLs. If we can digitize this B2B through about 3% in the next 2 to 3 years, getting up to 10%, which is the B2C share, that will be huge. Abad alone can get to a GMV in the next 3 years that is similar to those 6 customers we commented about in the previous quarter. So we're very excited about this potential and the ramp up they're going through. Well, Kai has mentioned that we have a B2B hub. This is a very important innovation. Our B2B customers first had to be brands that had their own relevant websites, but with this B2B hub, you open the market to any industry because they can connect to any website or to any B2B marketplace. Now, Claudio's question is, what is the profile of customers that Infra has been serving? Is it small and medium businesses or is more enterprises? Infra Commerce is focused on medium-sized and large customers. Our customers are medium-sized and large industries, wholesalers, retailers. The idea is to help them gain footprint with the e-commerce solutions, disintermediating the supply chain. Sometimes we talk about small retailers. For example, Unilever has a project called Buy Now, Compra Agora, in which Unilever and our customers buy now, and they will supply through this project small retailers. So we are working with medium and retailers, but in B2B, We have this capillarity of thousands of retailers that buy our solutions. Now, the next question is, you closed 43 new customers. Does that include Tetix customers? No, we're talking about organic customers that were added through our sales force and marketing teams. Now, these numbers of new customers do not include customers from Suma and Tetix. Suma and Tetix will only be included in the numbers from the third quarter onwards. Next question by Bernardo. He congratulates us on the results and the partnership with Abad. Now, he's asking us to comment on the burnout of the acquisition of Tetix. What is the additional value that we are expecting to pay, and the earn-out targets? Well, we have publicized the acquisition price, and there is also a contingency share from 5 to 35 million that will be defined at the end of June next year, so in 10 months. The main metric is the revenue of current customers and future customers. So we have a few targets and thresholds. Depending on the numbers achieved, we have an earn-out rate. The maximum additional value is of 36 million BRLs. As a reminder, if you would like to ask a question, please use the chat box that is available on the webcast platform. Questions will be answered in the order they are received. Next question by Rafael Fulan from North Asset. After the two acquisitions that you made recently, is your focus now on integration, or can we expect other M&A soon? Do you have any category in mind, like the acquisition of Peer, or a more complementary acquisition like in the case of Tetix? In our roadshow, we announced a list of M&As that we were planning to do. I don't want to be very specific, but if you look at that material, you can do the math and you'll see that we still have about one or two M&A transactions to be made by the end of the year. After that, we will stay with PMI for a few months. A few weeks ago, we said that in our inorganic approach, we have three phases. In the first phase, we want to achieve what we have in this disruptive scale. This is a market with billions of orders, and our scale is really important to take our customers to a service level that can be comparable to those huge marketplaces machines. And in order to do that, you need scale in logistics, in payments, in data, in technology. So the first phase always focuses on achieving this disruptive level of service. And then we focus on integration, on capturing synergies, structuring, so that we are ready to add other services to our ecosystem. I'm talking about artificial intelligence solutions or technology for new channels and this type of acquisition. And there's also a third phase that is further ahead into the future, in which we're going to focus on acquisitions to connect the dots of our B2B ecosystem to our B2C ecosystem. So, answering your question, if you look at the IPO materials, you'll see that we have one or two transactions to be made by the end of the year. And that's part of the first phase. And then we're going to take a deep breath, focus on integration. We have a consultancy company hired to help us in the PMI and to give us support in these projects. A question from Breno. He says, good afternoon. Congratulations on your presentation. I'd like to hear your take on expansion to other countries of Latin America and the penetration of other players in the market. Today, we have footprint in Argentina, Colombia, Chile, and Mexico. We are about to open operations in Peru as well. I don't have the exact numbers, but I'd say that we have around 95% of the e-commerce market in Latin America in terms of potential countries already achieved. We have many regional customers like Nike, that is a customer here in Argentina and Chile, HLM, which is a customer in Colombia, Chile, and Argentina. Buka 29 is a customer not only in Brazil, but also in Mexico. So our sales umbrella is working really well. We are number one in Colombia. We're number one in Argentina. We're number two in Chile as a new entrant. We've been there for months only. And we're head-to-head as number two with another player in Mexico. But the e-commerce market in Mexico is lagging a bit behind the market in Brazil and Argentina. So we have a small team of around 30 people there only, so not as relevant for us yet. The focus of new investments is on Brazil. We always say that. The Latin American markets are about 5 years behind the Brazilian market. We're only selling B2C in the rest of Latin America. We're going to start the other segments, but we're not there yet. We're just there, you know, showing our presence. But the focus in the next 1 to 2 years is clearly on Brazil. There is a huge opportunity for us to work in Brazil. Thank you, Kai. Next question is by Danielle Fornazai. How, from Credit Suisse, how do you see the competitive landscape? What are the impacts of that on pricing? And what are your plans to serve smaller companies organically or through acquisitions? I know that the market wants to hear that we're going to focus on the small companies, and that is highly scalable. But although I do not agree with the public opinion on the market, I think sometimes the founder is paid to disagree with some of these issues. The Brazilian market is 30 times better than the market in the US. So we can conclude that mathematically, the small customers are 30 times smaller than in the US. So we're going after medium and large customers that correspond to a medium or small size customer in the US. Those who work with really small customers in Brazil would have what they call a tiny client in the US. So we're very comfortable with our position in that way. There are several industries focusing on that. And if I say that I'm after medium-sized customers, I'm talking about those that have an e-commerce of 2 million BRLs a year. So that's my first message. The second message is we can feel the competitive impact on pricing. We don't feel any price pressure, but as I said in the roadshow, and also we also mentioned that in 2012, since we always charge from 20 to 20% for a B2B and a B2C full customers for the whole package of service, platform, payments, BI, CRM. At the end of the day, we're a bit more protected because the average cost can drop from 3% to 2.5%, for example. That can be half of a payment player. Let's say we have a platform that charges 2% and the average drops from 2% to 1.5%. They would lose a great part of their EBITDA, a significant part of their EBITDA. In our case, the value would be from 15 to 14.5, the total charge, the total billing. So since we cover the whole solution, we are in the a bit more protected in the B2C segment. About organic, the long tail of our business is in the B2B solutions. We supply to thousands of small retailers. And that's going to happen in an organic way because our customers will then go after these small retailers and therefore we gain scale. Okay, I think that was the last question we received via chat. I would like to thank you once again for joining and close our Q&A session. Thank you so much for joining us today once again. And now I'd like to turn the floor over to Kai for his final remarks. And thank you, Rafael, for your participation today as well. Thank you, everyone. Please feel free to get in touch with us through our Investors Relations Department. We have a very transparent policy in our communication with investors. We believe this is really important. So thank you so much for joining us today. We started this year committed to our strategy. We showed this again today. Our focus is on expansion and keeping our level of excellency in consumer experience. If you have any questions, as I said, just get in touch with our investors relations team. We'll be happy to help you. Have a great day and take care.